We are thankful that we live in the country we live in. I'm thankful to be an American, and we still have a semblance of liberty. And every day in our institutes of government, more and more of our liberties are being taken away from us. It's just the natural progression of things, and we are believers in religious liberty. And so our sermon today is entitled, Choose Ye. And I believe that comes from the scripture where Joshua said, Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And that is my resolve today too, that I will serve the Lord and my house. Let us pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we need your divine help at this particular moment. Something we need to say, we need to say it the way you want it said. We ask that you give us the power to do so. All hindrances, all physical infirmities, we pray that you would take care of, because we want to do justice to your word. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a dream years ago, way back in 1969. And in it, I had to decide whether to obey God's known will and suffer persecution or to relinquish and give in to disobedience, which offered a kind of prosperity and peace. I awakened being much disturbed. And 3 days after that, I got the interpretation where Jesus admonished me to follow him regardless of the negative consequences. Now, though this was but a dream, I lay in the darkness, and I thank God that I made the right choice. I reflected on the fact that for millions and years gone by, it was not a dream, but it was that they had loved not their lives unto the death. That actually, people have died over the centuries for this faith. For great masses of people today, eternal decisions must be made about whether to follow Christ or not. This is no dream. Making the right choices could mean trial, difficulty, pain, or even being an outcast in your own family. Before Jesus comes, the Bible predicts a time of trouble such as never was. That's in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Long ago up in heaven, God was accused of being oppressive, harsh, unjust, and devoid of love, if you can believe that. One of his most honored creatures had risen up to accuse God. He had pondered and feared the consequences of this horrific choice, but through repeated transgression, he became bold in iniquity and stubborn in his zeal to press forward his plan of apostasy or to die in the process. This creature's name was Lucifer, meaning covering cherub or light bearer. Lucifer is a compound noun meaning light carrier. God disproved Lucifer's brazen attacks against his holy character by lovingly appealing to him to turn from his dreadful folly and make the wise choice of receiving forgiveness and restoration. Instead, he was emboldened by the apparent patience of his amazing, long-suffering God, and thought that he could contend with his Creator. The patience of God, the holy, long-suffering, however, has limits. He who sees the end from the beginning clearly beheld the deception of perfect angels, unfallen worlds disturbed by questions, the great eternal fall of Lucifer from heaven. God had planned the creation of the earth and of Adam and Eve made in his image. He saw the temptation and fall in the Garden of Eden. He saw the unspeakable misery and the awesome cost of redemption. He appealed with divine love to Lucifer, who stood so close to him in the throne room that he glowed with the apparent divinity of God. That's how close Lucifer was to God. He glowed, and all his enormous love Lucifer misunderstood. Pride, arrogance, hard-heartedness, all these things sprang up within him to forever settle in his mind the awful deception that had ruined him. He became insensible to the fact that he was wrong and that he was introducing pain, rebellion, and death, all aliens to the commonwealth of God. One third of the sinless angels joined Lucifer in his perverted choice. One third. How could this be? God made Lucifer, the angels, and all other intelligent beings with the power of choice. There could be no true worship and obedience without this. These angels chose to rebel and stand with the deceiver Lucifer, who dared challenge the great Creator, who had forever been the most loving and tender God with all of his creation. He, this is the Godhead, decided to proceed with plans to create the earth and Adam and Eve, who would be made in his own image. They too would be given the power of choice, or else they would have been mere automatons or robots who could only behave as they were programmed to behave by God. Now, Lucifer would have loved this. In the Council of Peace, before the foundations of the earth were laid, the decision was made to proceed, a decision based upon love, a decision that comprehended the awesome cost of redemption should mankind choose to sin. God would not receive a forced worship or obedience. His very Godhead was challenged. Now, in the great prophetic overview, Revelation 12 stated there was war in heaven between Michael and the devil. That's verse 7. The devil was defeated. He and his host were cast out of heaven and down to the earth. His wrath is enormous because he knows that his time is short. He has directed his wrath at mankind, and particularly against those who keep the commandments of God by choice. In Revelation 12 and 17, the prophet called these the remnant. These are those who remain or the last of their kind. Way back in Eden, Lucifer broke upon the consciousness of God's first earthborn creatures. Channeling himself through the form of a serpent, he encountered Eve with the question, "Hath not God said, ye shall not eat of the trees?" Eve was quick to defend God. "Oh no," said she, "all the trees, we may freely eat of all of them, except one." The devil had waited for that answer. Now he would make it appear that that one tree was the greatest and most desirable of all. That's what he does. "It will make you like God. God has attempted to keep you from this one that really matters." Now comes the choice. "But God says, the day we eat of it, we will surely die," replied Eve, as she pondered her choice and her decision. "Ye shall not surely die," said the devil. This was the first recorded lie. Now the choice will be between God's truth and the enemy's lie. All the death and destruction, all the hatred and malice, all the pain and deformity, all the lies and broken covenants, all the evil recorded in history and around us every day can be traced back to that terrible decision. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Dominion, in a real sense, was transferred to Satan, and henceforth he and his host would be intolerant of any of Adam's posterity who did not fall in line with the prince of the world. That's the way he is. Religious liberty would be strained, and wherever God did not intervene, the enemy would fall upon people to torture, persecute, and destroy. He always craved worship. Now in his domain, he would make life miserable for those who choose to believe and worship God. That's what he does. Cain was used to destroy Abel. Cain chose to be Satan's ally, and Abel chose to believe God. Seth and the succeeding patriarchs placed their faith and allegiance with the true God by choice. Satan despised them. He attacked those who did not worship him as God. Abraham believed God. He made choices for himself and led his household to honor God. Satan had so fervently sought complete control of this planet, and yet God had his witnesses who chose to be loyal to him. The devil turned the majority of mankind into pagan tribes and nations while warring constantly against those who love God. He sought in many ways to take away the liberty of God's chosen people and force them to turn to him. Force is the program of the devil himself. Yes, it is. Millions upon millions have paid with their lives for choosing Christ. Jesus has promised they shall live again eternally. Israel lived in Egypt with peace and privilege for a while until there came a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. There's a lot of people today who knew not Joseph. Then Israel became an enslaved people for centuries. The work program in Egypt required them to work without regard for the Sabbath of the Lord. Hence, they forgot the God of their fathers. And Satan was exulting with pressure and with force, with whips and thongs, and with sweat and blood. He warred against God's people. With denial to keep the Sabbath, they even forgot their God. Those who currently keep the true Sabbath can never be an atheist, an unbeliever, or an agnostic, or any of those, because once a week they celebrate God's Godhood. That's in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Read that. In harmony with the covenant established with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's promise of deliverance finally came. He had Moses lead those former slaves into a wilderness. They were now fascinated with the pagan deities of Egypt. What God intended as a preparatory journey of a few weeks would become a 40-year nightmare with death in a desolate wilderness because they made the wrong choices. Sometimes God's people can make the wrong choices. They had to choose to serve God, yet they chose to worship a golden calf with lewd dancing and frivolity. There were times when they chose to return to Egypt. They were encumbered with faithless choices and consequences. They chose to rebel. They chose not to believe in spite of overwhelming evidence. They were decimated by war and plagues. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, said one of God's servant leaders. Therefore, choose life. Make the right choice for your own sake. Make the choice based on God's word, which never fails. Choose God and his service. Choose ye, in spite of threats of pain and suffering. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it, said Jesus in Matthew 10 and 39. Throughout the Old Testament, like a sad refrain, there are the verses that say, Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Nothing is too evil or wicked for the devil and his angels. They don't even like each other. Imagine the devil's board meetings and planning sessions. They were united on one thing, however, and that is a constant warfare against God and his precious people. And the people cooperated with him. Then came the silent years between Malachi to Matthew. No true prophet emerges as a leader. Satan will have taken and did take full advantage. He will create division in Israel. He will counterbalance paganism and idolatry against religion through tradition, thus obscuring the truth. Eventually, along comes John the Baptist and a new era. John the Forerunner declared that in the fullness of time, the Son of God would break upon the scene, not to force the wills or take away the power of choice, but to demonstrate the love of God, to live a perfect life of godly choices, and to withstand the spiritual fables that Satan had developed to enslave the minds even of the Israelites. Religious liberty had long been removed. Herod the imposter sat on a tinsel throne, jealousy guarding his seat and power. He was a tool in the hands of the evil one. He could easily resort to force. Now, Satan is the arch foe of religious freedom. He knows the truth will set people free. The enemy of righteousness studies the scriptures that he might wrest it, twist it, compromise it, bend it, and contaminate it to confuse the minds of those who choose to serve God. Jesus came to make truth clear by precept and example. Making the right choice might not always make things easier on this earth, but it is still right. It is not easy, and it was not easy for Jesus. He said, "Marvel not that the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you." That's in John, 1 John 3 and 13 and John 15 and 8. Christ would be stopped, but not by the power of false religious leaders or even Satan himself. His time had come. He will do the business of salvation. He was born for this cause, born to die so that we can live. He would open the doors of the prison house and set the captives free. Satan presumptuously tempted the Lord. He pressed the claims of hell through torture and crucifixion. In those days, crucifixion must be endorsed and approved by Rome. Pontius Pilate had been maneuvered into the governorship of the area by dubious means. The pesky, troublesome Jews were ever threatening to revolt. Pilate was to keep the lid on this awful province and make certain that the people's minds were bent by peace or by force to favor Rome. Then there was Herod, the puppet king. He and Pilate didn't like each other. But their mutual hatred of the Holy One would not only secure the death sentence by crucifixion, it would make them friends. The Bible says so. They were friends after that. Allied against all Christ was and stood for. That's in Luke chapter 23 and verses 12. So he bore the cross. Jesus died on the cross. He went to the tomb. Satan exulted somewhat. He knew the powers of God. He heard Christ say, "After 3 days I will rise again." He must hold him in the tomb just one more day. Early in the morning of that third day, there was a rupture in the earth. An angel had touched down. Jesus had risen. The death knell of the devil, his hosts, and his disciples were rung, and that death knell still sounds today. The victory is won, however. Free at last! Free at last! With his fate sealed for eternity, the devil comes down having great wrath. Because he knows his time is short. That's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Away with liberty, he decided. Our only chance is by force. Great men of state and of war will join him. There will be rules of conduct. Hatred will motivate men as love motivates the followers of Christ. Intolerance and spiritual slavery will grip the millions. Christians began to die at Jerusalem. His program was begun. He would send the world spiraling down into palpable darkness. He thought he could crush the believers and extinguish the light. However, the Christians fled, and wherever they went, light sprang up. New believers joined. They loved Jesus, the loving Savior, who had died for their sins. The more the devil killed, the more they joined the family of God. The Christians longed for Jesus to return, as he had promised. John 14, 1-3. But Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica that the day shall not come except there come a falling away. A falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. Though not fully understood, Paul was introducing that long, terrible epoch of the Dark Ages, where more than 50 million of God's people died in the most heinous ways imaginable, and worst of all, they were slain by the church. Satan had decided to join the church. Yes, he did. He joined the church. He brought in paganism and he baptized it. In order for this to work, he had to make war on the scriptures. And he's still at war with the scriptures. Bibles were confiscated and burned. Then he applied force. Anyone violating his law was a heretic and could be put to death. A pall of ignorance settled over the land. The Dark Ages were on earth from 538 to 1798 AD. That's a long stretch of time. For the Dark Ages, for more than 1,200 years. After the many years were fulfilled, the Reformation broke out within the time frame of the 1,260 prophetic years. Great leaders rose up. The power of the apostate church was broken. Folk flocked to a new land called America to enjoy a country without a king or a pope. Satan is now especially angry. There is a new development. That's in Revelation 12 and 17. The dragon, verse 9, is angry with the church and went to make war with the remnant. Who's the remnant? Verse 17, who are they? They keep the commandments of God and have the spirit of prophecy. Sounds vaguely familiar to me. Revelation 9 and 10. We are living in the last days. Matthew 24, Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, etc. There is a remnant. There is a last church. This does not mean that no one else can be saved. Oh no, this means that there will be a model church on earth to inform and attract all others who are willing to make the right choice. That's us. Satan hates this church with a special hatred. Yes, he does. But God loves her with a special love. Fear not, he calls to his people. Follow me. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verses 14. The 1,260 years of persecution are past. More than 50 million have paid a great price. A greater tragedy is that error is still alive and millions are blundering back toward that darkness. Revelation 12 and 12 says that the enemy is on earth, and because he knows that his time is short, he has great anger against those who keep the commandments of God and follow the guidance of the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 12, 17, and 19, and 10. We can detect the surge of the enemy and his forces. As the Spirit of the Lord is gradually being withdrawn from the earth, Satan's host is moving forward. The Bible has prophesied that there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12 and 1. God's remnant church and the teeming masses that will turn to the truth through the power of the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit will become the special targets of the devil's wrath. Are you ready? Persecution with torture, pain, and terror will be revived. Precious liberty of conscience will be denied soon. Our religious liberties are going, and will be gone. An improbable An alliance between the three great powers will take place. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet will come together as did Herod and Pilate. In mutual hatred of those who keep the commandments of God and are guided by the testimony of Jesus. A great test will come to God's people. Even worse than during the Dark Ages. Now, that's pretty bad. 50 million died in the Dark Ages, and this is going to be worse. Religious liberty as we have enjoyed it will be taken away. During this very ordeal, the sealing work will be completed. While those who war against the truth will receive the mark of the beast in their foreheads, that's the seat of conviction and belief, or in their hands, that's receiving error for convenience or other such reasons. Some will be cast in dark dungeons and left there to die. True churches will be locked to God's people, denying them the encouragement of strengthening fellowship and prayer. Ministers and laypersons who have taught the scriptures to others will be arrested. Families will be separated from one another. This is to be a time of real test. The gold will be refined, the silver be purified, pretenders and hypocrites will find many causes for which to fall away. They will become bitter enemies of their former brothers and sisters in the faith. Children will turn against their parents, and parents against their children. Betrayal will characterize many who now walk with us. Oh yes, the dark clouds are gathering on the horizon. Spiritual perception will see what others cannot. It seems incredible to the masses that the marvelous guarantees of religious freedom found in our Constitution can or would be repudiated. And they will be. A sure and powerful hand will guide God's people. They will have learned to follow God's leadership and the inspiration He gave to His servant Ellen G. White. For many, the darkness is impenetrable. Even true believers will experience doubts and fears until they are so finally sure that God can be depended upon to keep His word and deliver His people that they truly learn to walk by faith. The issues will wax hot. The way will be seemingly impossible to follow. Thousands will abandon the truth and become bitter enemies. The promise is, however, that other thousands will join the final remnant and the ranks of the Lord's army will not be diminished. Amen. The heavens will split, revealing Jesus, the coming conqueror. The blast of His trumpet will awaken the righteous dead. The tread and the shout of the redeemed will rattle the cosmos. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Christ has come. Finally, the value of making the right choice will be realized forever. Choose ye, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we are making and have made the right choices. We choose you. We choose life. We choose right now to work and struggle and endeavor to keep the religious freedoms and liberties that we have now. Without diligence, they will be gone sooner than we expect. I pray that God's people will elect to work, for the night is coming when no man can work. Bless this people. Help them be aware of what's going on around about them. And look up, for their redemption draws nigh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.